It is good to have everyone here this morning. And frankly, I'm kind of surprised that our crowd is as good as it is, considering the number of people that we've got out this morning, especially those on our sick list. We left this morning, and my church key's in the truck, and we drove the car, so we didn't have the key, and we was the first ones here, so we sat and waited for a few minutes, and then Betty Runnels drove up, and I told Barely, I said, well, Betty's not going to have a key, I don't think. And then Brad come up, and I said, Brad will have a key. And he didn't. If he did, he didn't open the door. So finally we waited, and it was beginning to get on up there, and I said, something's wrong with Ellis and Marilyn, they'd have been here. It was about getting close to quarter till, I guess, when Greg got here and let us in. But I thought then we were probably going to have a pretty short crowd, and I'm really surprised that our numbers are as good as they are. So I started looking around at the ones that were absent, and some not knowing what the situation was, and I told Beverly, I said, well, Kelly and Sue's not here. And she looked at me just funny. She said, they are here. They're sitting right there where they all were. And how come he'd overlook them, I don't know, but I did. But we've got others that are here that I didn't see a little bit earlier. And a little while ago, it was beginning to sleet a little bit and rain maybe. And I didn't think that the weatherman said it's going to do that. But what do I know? And actually, what does he know when it comes right down to it, I think. But we're glad that you're here this morning. I want to talk to you this morning. It seems like an odd thing to talk about for a sermon. It's cedar trees. And you might think that. You're probably right. I asked Ryan to find me one to put on the board, and he found one that's just right, just exactly what I was looking for, a cedar tree. And somebody says, well, of all things to preach about. But as most of you know, by now I've preached on a lot of different subjects that probably were unlikely subjects. But I want to remind you, Jesus did too. Jesus did the very same thing. Jesus would be talking to his apostles sometimes to a whole crowd of people, and there are some 40 or 41, depending on which way you count, parables that Jesus talked about. Almost every one of them, he seemed to be talking about one thing, but he's really talking about something else. For example, Jesus would be talking about sheep. And when you get into the parable and you get finished up and sort of digest it, you found out he wasn't really talking about sheep after all. He was talking about people. But he was comparing them to sheep. Sometimes, I recall one in the 13th chapter of Matthew, he's talking about sowing seed. It's a farmer out here sowing seed. But come find out, he wasn't really talking about sowing wheat or some kind of grass or something like that at all. He said it was the gospel that he was talking about, and even his own disciples didn't really understand what he was talking about, and he had to explain it to them. And so far as the growth of the church, he kept talking about the church was coming. On this rock I will build my church. He did that over and over. Of course, his apostles didn't have a clue what a church was. There had been a church before, so they didn't know what he was talking about. And he talked about the different aspects of the church. And he's talking about the growth of the church. He's talking about mustard seed. And he said a little bitty mustard seed, as small as wood, he told him how it would grow. He wasn't really talking about mustard seed. And he used many, many other examples in parables. And even one of the most famous ones that we all know, the story of what we call the prodigal son. He wasn't really talking about two specific individuals, an older son and a younger son, or two brothers, at all. He's really talking about a whole different subject that we now understand after we read and study that story. So Jesus did a lot of that. And I do that sometimes too. I've used different props since I've been preaching here at Mount Zion for the last 20-some-odd years. That make a point. And you've seen me drag something in there that you think be most unlikely thing. And I'm going to do that this morning on this cedar tree. The Bible's got a lot to say about cedar. And somebody said, well, are you really going to talk about cedar trees? No, I'm not talking about cedar trees at all. Like Jesus wasn't really talking about sheep at all. I'm talking about Christians and how we ought to be, but I'm liking it to a cedar tree because that's something you're going to all understand. Everybody that's in this audience this morning, on the way to church, you passed a lot of cedar trees. Now, you didn't notice them. You didn't know that I was going to be talking about cedar trees. But I guarantee you that you saw a lot of them on your way out here and just didn't think about it. But I believe it's a sermon at any time. I really do. I have preached some very unlikely sermons. There's a sermon in any time. You know what Solomon said? And he was a wise man. He said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways. You mean the smartest man that ever lived in the world is telling me to study ants? What can I learn from an ant? I'm supposed to be of a species that's the most intelligent beings here on this earth, and I can learn something from an ant. Well, we can learn something from cedar trees. And so I put a few things on the board that I want to use this morning, that if we would take after a cedar tree, we'd be a whole lot better Christian than what we are today. We could improve our lives and lots, a whole lot. So I've entitled the lesson this morning, Imitating the Cedar Tree. Now, I've got scriptures for every one of these points that I'm using this morning. Now, some of them may seem a little bit unlikely to you, but in Ezekiel chapter 27 and verse 24, Ezekiel is talking about the rich people of that day having lustrous garments, expensive garments, and he said that they put them in a cedar chest. Well, every one of us, especially those that are older, would know that you put a garment in a cedar chest, probably not only for safekeeping, to keep the moths from eating it up. Remember, back in those days, they had a lot of wool, and there's nothing that a moth likes better than he likes wool. So woolen garments especially, but they'll eat others as well. And this is what Ezekiel was talking about. And so I put useful. And I want you to know, if you're not familiar with some of these things this morning, that the cedar tree is one of the most useful trees that we have today. We use cedar trees for a lot of different things. We use cedar for lumber to build cedar chests. I would speculate this morning that a number of people in our audience today has probably got a cedar chest in their house, and they put garments and they put other valuables in that cedar chest. And people have been doing that for thousands of years. They were doing it in Ezekiel's day. So it can be used for furniture. I've been in houses where that actually the walls were done in cedar. That's not anything new. That happened in Solomon's day. When Solomon built the temple for the glory of the Lord, he imported cedar because they didn't have a lot of cedar in Israel. But just north of them in Lebanon, that country's still there today, Lebanon is renowned and known for their cedar trees. As a matter of fact, on the Lebanese flag today, there's a picture of a cedar tree. I thought, how appropriate, because that's an old, old country, and they're still using the symbol of the cedar tree in that day, and how it applies to us as Christians today, how much more so. For those of us that farm, cedars have long been the choice of post, cedar post. And one of the reasons that we use cedar trees for post is because they just don't rot. Some years ago, a couple of years before my father died, he and I moved a fence over on my farm. And he told me that day, we pulled up some cedar posts. We're going to move the fence over a little bit and redo it. And we pulled up some cedar posts. And the white that you see on the outside, they call that the sap, I think, had rotted away. But inside of these cedar posts, about this much, especially the bigger post, it was still just as red and just as solid as it was when that fence was put up. And my daddy told me, said, I remember helping my daddy put this fence up when I was 7 years old. And he was getting on up in years at that time. I think we counted up, and no cedar post had been in the ground about 56 years. And they were still strong, and they were still solid. So they're useful for a case like, we use cedar for a lot of different things. One thing that I've noticed, and maybe especially those of you in our audience this morning, the men that are hunters,
You'll find that the wildlife will go to cedar thickets. Larry, if you've never noticed that, they'll go to cedar thickets when the weather's real bad because it gives them protection. They don't go to some other kind of tree. The other trees are there, but they go to cedar thickets. I've seen cattle go to cedar thickets to get out of a cold wind or sleet or something, like we've had a little bit this morning. So cedars are useful. That's the way Christians ought to be. It ought to be minor to us, the use of cedar being useful. The Christians ought to be useful. There ought to be a lot of different aspects of their life from an unselfish standpoint that were useful to other people, that were good for something, that God didn't put us here on this earth to save ourselves. We ought to be useful. We ought to be useful to the kingdom of God. We ought to be useful in our service to each other. Point number two. This is going to sure enough seem like an odd one, but in Song of Solomon chapter 4 and verse 11, he's talking about the smell of cedar. Anybody that's ever smelled a cedar knows that it's got a distinctive smell. It doesn't smell like anything else, any other kind of tree. Now, I could probably blindfold you like Ryan did me back during our vacation Bible school. And even though you may not be an expert on wood, I could pass maybe an oak block or a beech or some other kind under your nose, and you might not know what kind it was. But I would venture to say that most of us here, if we passed cedar under your nose, you'd say, I know what that one is. It's got a distinctive smell. There's nothing else that smells like cedar. Somebody says, well, how can you relate a good smelling cedar to a Christian? And I think that out of all the points that we make this morning, that this is certainly as useful as any of the others, because Christians ought to pass the smell test. There are a lot of things in the world today that just don't pass the smell test. I know Christians today that wear the name, and they're known as Christians, but they don't really pass the smell test. They can say that they're a cedar. They can say that I've got that cedar smell, but they really don't have. They may smell a little bit different to you. Sometimes we use the old expression, I smell a rat. Well, it's not really a rat that we're smelling, but we use that phrase because it means the very same thing to us. I smell a rat. But some Christians don't fail to some Christians will fail the smell test. That's one of the beautiful things about it. It smells good to us. That's one of the reasons that we make our cedar chests out of it, and cedar lumber or cedar paneling or something. But evidently it doesn't smell very good to moths or weevils or fleas. I know farmers and hunters as well that go to the lumber yard and they get cedar shavings or cedar sawdust to put in their dog houses because fleas don't like that smell. You know, that's the way the world is with Christians. They don't like our smell. As Christians, we've got a distinctive smell. Now, I'm not talking about a smell as we know it today, but we pass the smell test. And there's so many things in our world today, in our sociological makeup in the world today, that just don't pass the smell test. It's not moral. It's not the way that God would have us to be. And so if we're going to be Christians, people ought to know us by our smell, psychologically speaking. We ought to be fragrant creatures of God. We ought to know that better than anyone else. The next one that I put up here is that a cedar is upright. We ought to be upright. In Psalms chapter 37, in verse 37, David said that God's people were to be upright. Now, we don't use that word very much today, and maybe one of the reasons that we don't use it is because we don't think ourselves of being cedar trees. But you'll notice a tree that Ryan put up here on the screen for us this morning, that it's upright. Somebody said, well, what's the difference between that and any other tree? Well, the difference is it's got a central stem. Look at this tree behind me on the board on the screen this morning. You've got a main central trunk that starts at the ground that goes all the way to the top. And every branch of that tree feeds right directly into the main stem of that tree. Look out here in the graveyard and you'll see other trims, and it'll be a branch that comes off of a branch, and another branch that comes off that branch, and finally it'll go back to the tree. But it's not the way cedars are. Every individual branch goes back to the central trunk of that tree. Somebody says, well, does that really make any difference? I think that it does. That we ought to get our nourishment from Jesus Christ. Here's what Jesus said about himself in John chapter 14. He said, I am the vine, or the central part of that plant, and ye are the branches. So we ought to be a branch of a branch of a branch of another branch that finally goes back to the stem. We ought to get our nourishment from the trunk itself, and that trunk of that tree is Jesus Christ. We ought to get it indirectly or through some other form. I believe that's how that so many denominations of so-called Christianity are in the world today, is because somebody got something from somebody else, who got it from somebody else, and got it from somebody else, and he finally traces himself back to the trunk. But if we get it directly from that tree, an upright tree, then we're never going to go wrong. We know that it's going to be just exactly the way that Jesus would have us to be. Solomon said, mark the perfect man, behold, he is upright. Certainly Jesus is upright, and if we are to be upright as he is, then we draw from him and not from some other branch or some other way. Then I notice another thing about the cedar that Christians ought to be. The Christian is symmetrical. That is, it is perfect in form. Somebody said, well, now, wait a minute. Are you telling us that as Christians that we've got to be perfect? Well, Jesus said that we should be. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, Jesus says about himself and about us, he says, be ye therefore perfect, even as I am perfect. We ought to be perfect in our Christian lives today. Somebody says, well, now you're asking us to do something that is not part. We are to be perfect in form. We are to be perfect as God is perfect and as Christ is perfect. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17, we find there, the Bible says in the King James Version, it says the man of God, other versions will say, as people of God, that we should be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That's the perfection that we can attain to, like the cedar tree. We ought to be symmetrical in that way. So we are symmetrical as Christians, that is, that we're perfect in form. And if we're the kind of people that God wants us to be, then we'll be like the cedar tree. Number 5 that I put on the screen this morning is, we ought to be beautiful. I don't see how anybody can look at a cedar tree and say it's not a beautiful tree. A lot of times somebody, when they're talking about a tree, they'll talk about an elm and how that elm spreads out, or they'll talk about the mighty oak tree, or they'll talk about many other trees. But very seldom do I hear anybody think about the cedar tree being so beautiful. Bible says that it is beautiful, and in Song of Solomon chapter 5 and 6 it especially tells us, but it also tells us, it says that we ought to be excellent as children of God, excellent as cedars. Excellent as cedars. I'm wondering why that he didn't compare it to some other kind of tree. There were many other kind of trees in that area that Solomon could have used. But maybe Solomon, like we could be as well, found a great beauty in those cedar trees that he had imported from Lebanon. Excellent as cedars. Cedar tree's beautiful the whole year around. Have you ever noticed that about a cedar? All these other trees now have no leaves. I think that they're beautiful at different times of year, especially in the fall of year when you see the trees start turning red and gold and brown and different colors. But a cedar tree is the same all the year around. And it's a beautiful tree, and Christians ought to be beautiful. That leads us to the next one. There's a little overlapping in this. And I put number 6 that as Christians we ought to be consistent. You see a cedar tree, it's green all year long. It doesn't lose its leaves and become ugly in the wintertime, but it's just as pretty in the winter as it is in the summer. And that's the way Christians ought to be. Christians ought to be just as pretty in the winter as they are in the summer. Christians ought to look the same. They ought to be consistent the year around. All of us have known people that or met people that when you see them one place, they're the best friend you ever had, but maybe see them in another setting, they won't even speak to you. Just like you're not, you know what I'm talking about. Surely we've all experienced that. I don't think that there's anything that's any worse than having a so-called friend who's not consistent. Christians ought to be consistent. They ought to be like the cedar tree. They ought to be the same the whole year around, every day, every week. They ought to be the same at church. We had a man that used to attend church in a place that I used to preach. He was viewed as a very religious man, and he spoke to everybody. He would stand on the front porch of the church, and he would speak to everybody. It was good to speak to the visitors, but he'd speak to all the people there. But they told me about this man, and I'm sure that there's too many people told me for it not to be true, that you could go down the road to the store the next day, and he wasn't hard to speak to nobody. But I guess Sundays were different than Mondays for him. Christians ought to be known as people that are consistent. They're the same all the time. That's what God wants us to be. And we find that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Paul, talking to the young preacher Timothy, said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. And that's the way that we ought to be. It's not just preaching the word, but it's the way that we live our lives. We ought to be the same one day that we are the next. There's no other tree that I can think of is as consistent and teaches us that lesson as the cedar tree does. And then number 7, I put durable. Christians ought to be durable. They're not the kind of people that are here one day and gone the next. They're not flighty kind of people. I told you about pulling that post up with my daddy that had been in the ground for 56 years, and it was still just as good inside as the day that him and his daddy set that tree or set that post in the ground. We ought to endure. Cedars will go on for years and years. They will remain when other posts are destroyed and rotted and gone. And that's the way that the world is. The world's like those others, but as Christians, we ought to be durable. We ought to last. Here's what Jesus says about his followers. He said, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. He wants us to be durable, preacher. We're not just on again, off again. Come to church a little while, quit going for a while, start up and go to church again for a while. Maybe take our children, maybe not take our children. And there are too many so-called Christians today who are living that kind of life. They're not durable. They're not the kind of people that they ought to be. And they're certainly not imitating the cedar, as in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. And then the last one that I put on the screen this morning is, well, be hardy. I wonder how many of you have stood on the porch of this building and looked right around the bluff there on Frieda, and you see the bluff is straight up and down. It's just almost solid rock. And you know the kind of tree that grows out of those crevices on that rock? You won't see a big mighty oak tree there about 3 feet through, but you'll see a little old scruffy cedar sticking out most cracks and getting drawn from that little moisture that it gets. Maybe its roots are in a crack of a rock. And you say, how in the world can anybody live on the side of the bluff? But cedar trees are hardy. On around the bluff where my farm joins Frieda, I've got the very same thing. You can't see it from here at the church like you can see hers. But I've noticed several times that there'll be a little old tree there about maybe 4 or 5 inches through that's been there for years and years and years. No telling how long that it's been there. And it may be warped, where the wind has bloated around. It hadn't had much nourishment. There's not much soil there. It can't get much moisture, but it's still living, and it's still reproducing, and it may be there for many years to come. It's hardy. They live. They'll grow anywhere. I've seen Christians growing in wet places where other things wouldn't grow. I've seen them grown in dry places where they couldn't hardly get any water at all. Cedars will grow in tough conditions. Boy, that's the way a Christian ought to be. A Christian ought to be able to endure, and he ought to be able to take it in tough conditions because he draws his strength and he draws his nurture from the Lord. And we've got to be hardy as Christians. In the day and age that we're living in now, with so many enemies in so many places, and people are fighting against the morals of God, Christians have got to be hardy. They've got to be able to endure and to live. And cedars above any other kind of a tree that I know are like that. That's a few things that comes to my mind about cedar trees. I think that's the way Christians ought to be. They'll be like cedars. That they'll grow in any conditions, and that they will be useful when they do that. Just a few things that I thought of. Hope that you remember those things, and that when you see a cedar tree, that you'll think about the things that we've talked about this morning. Might be that there's somebody in our audience this morning who is outside of Christ. If you're here this morning, if there's anything that we can do to assist you, not only me personally, but the church here, we hope that you'll do that.